This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
EPA set to strengthen methane regulations amid climate talks in Europe. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler and for David Brancaccio. The Biden administration's Environmental Protection Agency is set to announce some new regulations while the president is at the UN Climate Conference in Glasgow, Scotland. Now, the rules are aimed at curbing methane emissions, specifically from oil and natural gas production. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Nancy, how are these new rules going to limit methane emissions?
The EPA will limit these emissions from existing oil and gas wells. It says that would eventually reduce emissions by around 75%. The Biden administration will also require oil and gas producers to plug leaks in methane gas pipelines. And it would basically ban venting, that is, when excess natural gas in oil wells is released into the atmosphere.
And methane has been a big talking point among environmentalists. Do we have a sense of how effective these new rules might be?
They're a start, but some activists are disappointed that the administration will still allow flaring. And that's when excess natural gas at oil wells is burned. Also, some of the administration's plan is voluntary. The EPA is trying to get landfills to voluntarily reduce methane emissions by 70%. And the Agriculture Department will use incentives to try to convince farmers to cut their methane emissions.
And it seems like the Biden administration is trying to assert the U.S. as a leader in climate policy, certainly at this conference. Is it urging other countries to enact similar regulations on methane?
Yeah, it's working with the European Union to get the biggest methane gas emitters to sign a global methane pledge. The Biden administration says the pledge will help get overall methane emissions 30% below 2020 levels by the year 2030. But again, it's voluntary.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down almost half a 1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also all down between 1 and 0.2%, with the Dow future down about 30 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is also down this morning at 1.55%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Who are America's cultural elite these days? Well, according to conservative political commentator David Brooks, they have something in common. They're politically progressive city dwellers who were highly educated, and they often have degrees from top-tier, very selective universities. They make up what Brooks calls the creative class, and he calls its members Bobos, short for bourgeois bohemians. 2 decades ago, he wrote a book about this group and concluded that anyone could join this class if they got the right education and pursued the right career. But he's revised his thinking for an article in The Atlantic. In it, he says this class is getting more and more insular, and it's one of the reasons for the country's increasing polarization. He joins me now to discuss. David, good morning.
Good morning.
You write that the Bobos have this stranglehold on the economy. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, one of the things we've done is we've congregated in cities. It used to be companies, you know, Lowe's Hardware was had headquarters in Wilkes, North Carolina, and the banks, you had your local bank in your mid-sized Tennessee city. But as corporations have concentrated in cities, you get this concentration of wealth. And this happens in the U.S., but pretty much every Western country. And so other places naturally feel left out. And so the parties who represent the more rural parts of these Western countries, they say, see, they've concentrated the wealth, they've built up social status, they hate us, and let's go on the assault. And that, I think, is a large part of Donald Trump, Viktor Orban, Boris Johnson, Marine Le Pen, et cetera, et cetera.
It sounded like in the article you were giving at least a little bit of praise to the Biden agenda. Is there something that can be done in Washington to reduce just how insular this elite class is?
I'm hopeful. Joe Biden is the unique creature in that he did not come from the creative class. He's the first president since Ronald Reagan who does not have an Ivy League degree. And so he really is more formed by a working class community than by the educational system. And so just as a cultural signal, I think he sends an egalitarian message. Second, the Biden agenda, if the last 40 years have been a giant funnel directing money to highly educated people in the cities, it seems to me the Biden agenda is a giant funnel directing money away from the cities toward less educated people all around the country of all races and varieties. And so I've generally been on the right in this country, but given the circumstances of widening social and economic inequality, I think shifting a large amounts of money through a child tax credit, through education vouchers, through infrastructure jobs, that's A, may ease some of the inequality, and B, is just a sign of respect that we've seen what's happened to you over the last 40 years, and we're going to try to do something about it.
Now, this is not all that positive of a portrait that you're painting in this article. You're worried about what you see. Where do we go from here? What do you think?
Well, I do think some sort of economic redistribution is part of it. But the second thing, you know, there's just no other choice when there is cultural gaps opening up. It's contact. There was a guy named Gordon Allport decades ago who had a theory, contact theory, that if you bring people together and they actually get to know one another, then a lot of the stereotypes, a lot of bitterness will fall away. A lot of people vastly overestimate how much the people on the other side hate them. You know, we all go home to, and we all have members of our family who are on the other side of the political divide. Somehow hammering through that is somehow an essential cultural task, aside from all the economic and political things that have to happen.
David Brooks is a columnist for The New York Times and a contributing writer for The Atlantic. His latest piece for The Atlantic is called How the Bobos Broke America. David, thanks again for doing this.
Sure, it's been a pleasure.
You can find my full conversation with Mr. Brooks, including more about higher education's role in exacerbating inequality. It's on our homepage. It's marketplace.org. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.